Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Coming up, we're going to Vegas, where we will talk to Ed Graney of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Marcus Arroyo, Oregon offensive coordinator, headed to Las Vegas. Can I jam the 2 and 2 in right before, since, you know, we're supposed to do it at 2, we're late doing it. Let's just jam it in. Go.
The 2 at 2.
There you heard it. UNLV has hired Marcus Arroyo to be its new head coach. Ducks offensive coordinator. Unknown if he's going to stick around for the Rose Bowl, although I would doubt it. Heads to Vegas, where he'll get a chance to run his own program. Be interesting to see the Ducks without Arroyo as the coordinator and the play caller. And fun to see what he does at UNLV. Second thing in my 2 at 2, Oregon State makes a scheduling announcement. They'll play Ole Miss at Reser Stadium. That's right. Beaver Nation, you're going to get a SEC game in Corvallis. That is a future home game that's on the docket for 27 and 30. Also, they've added New Mexico in 2027 and 2028. Oregon State taking on Ole Miss in a home and home series. That's my second thing in my 2 at 2. Our next guest, friend of the show, longtime fantastic columnist, Las Vegas Review Journal, Ed Graney. Brings the heat every time, and here he is from the Strip. Are you standing on the Strip, Ed Graney?
We are not standing on the Strip, but I am standing in Summerlin, Nevada, which is a suburb to the Strip, so I'm close to it, but not completely on it.
How far would you have to go to place a bet?
Oh, just place a bet. Half a mile at the most.
Okay, that's good enough.
I could walk. It's a definitely a nice brisk walk in the afternoon if I want to get something down on something for sure.
You guys did a terrific job reporting the Marcus Arroyo coaching hire. You guys broke it, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Ed, you are a columnist there. What was your initial reaction when you saw this as it was developing?
Not surprised, because the athletic director, Desiree Reed-Francois, did this in basketball. Her hiring philosophy appears to be young, unproven. Now, T.J. Oslerberger was a head coach, but at a lower level. She does not appear to not like, but go after higher names and established resumes and people with long head coaching careers. So I wasn't surprised she was going after a coordinator. And then obviously Arroyo, having been at Oregon and been at a school that a lot of kids like and, you know, won the Pac-12, it was not a surprise that his name was among several coordinators that started the search.
It'll be curious to me to see him without Mario Cristobal around him, because I couldn't tell as a play caller if it was Arroyo who was wasting Justin Herbert, or was it Cristobal, or what was going on. What do you make of that, and what's the reaction been of the UNLV fan?
Well, I don't think he's going to move the needle much to start. I don't think there's any chance. And as I wrote for tomorrow, I don't think he's selling one ticket beyond family and friends. I don't think Desiree Reed-Francois cares about that. She believes, obviously, that this is a guy who can do something that no one around here for 30 years has done, which is win at all. It's not going to be a fanfare at first. I think people wanted a bigger name. I think going into the Raiders Allegiant Stadium, John, and the idea with the Fertitta Football Complex and the medical school, you know, their long-term vision, whether it's 1% or 50%, is to be a P5 school. I think they wanted a big name to kind of make that, you know, to make that statement that, hey, we're very serious about football. So his name won't do that. He's coming to a program that hasn't won in forever, and he's going to have to prove he's a head coach. He's going to have to prove he can hire a staff. He's not going to walk into a football complex with Oregon-level athletes or talent. So I guess this is his job now. Good for him. He obviously wanted to be head coach, But this is a hard job, man. And I will say this for Marcus. He is inheriting the best chance in the history of that school to be good. The facilities have never been better. I mentioned the Fertitta Football Complex and the stadium. They're all good academically, and it's all relative because it's UNLV. But the recruiting rankings of late have been among the school's highest. Now, again, it's UNLV, so take that for what it's worth. But nobody has had a better chance to win right away than he will have coming here.
That stadium, Allegiant Stadium, Raiders will play there. How much does this play into Vegas's viewing as, hey, UNLV could be big time? Or how does the NHL being successful there fit into the sports scene in this conversation?
Yeah, well, Allegiant Stadium's never built without UNLV. I was at those meetings with the legislature, and they never give $750 million if UNLV wasn't involved. They weren't going to give it just for the Raiders. And Sandoval, as the governor at that time, made that clear. So they had a lot to do with getting it. Now, at the end of the day, this is a Raiders stadium, and UNLV is a tenant. I think next year there's a chance they'll have really good crowds, not for Marcus Arroyo, but the fact the Raiders tickets are so expensive, you have a lot of people going to college games next year just to see the stadium. You and I both know that will wear off quickly if he can't win. But UNLV is trying to find its place, John. When I came here to be the columnist now, gosh, 13 years ago, it was the only thing in town, man. It was the only, especially UNLV basketball, that was the only thing. Now there's a hockey team that's been to the Stanley Cup final that this town, much because of the October 1 shootings, loves more than any team probably is beloved across the country, and how the fans feel about that hockey team and what they did during a horrible, horrible time. And now the NFL is coming, and you know how powerful the NFL is. So Marcus Arroyo and UNLV, he's going to try to find a place here, and that's what UNLV's they're trying to fit in to what is now a pro town.
Ed Graney, Las Vegas Review Journal, you must have seen all this coming to say, hey, I'm going to go to Vegas, I'm going to be the columnist, we're going to get hockey, we're going to get the NFL.
No. No, in fact, I came and said we got to move within 3 years. I'll go there, write a column, and maybe I'll jump, and then we both know what happened to our industry and the housing industry. But looking back now with the pro town, I mean, it's become a much better town for what you and I do for a living. And, you know, again, the Golden Knights were a magical, magical team that first year, and they haven't lost their luster. They're still sellouts at T-Mobile. T-Mobile is an incredible experience when they play. And I think the Raiders, I mean, people hear, you know, I hear a lot of times, I don't want them coming. Well, somebody does because they've sold most of all their tickets and all their suites. So there's a lot of people with money in Vegas, and they're getting behind the idea that they're going to have the NFL next year.
Ed Graney, Las Vegas Review Journal, is our guest. In this search, I was kind of casually paying attention. We've been through some coaching searches lately. I don't like them particularly, but you got a lot of agents trying to get their names in there and get their guys out there. You have everybody's jockeying with an agenda. How did this search go down in that, with that framing from your perspective?
Well, if anything tells you about agents, and that's their job, I get it. I'm not one. So, you know, their job is to get their guys' names out there and get them jobs. But boy, you just don't know who to listen to in search. And she, I will say this for her, and she did it with the basketball search, man, it is tight-lipped around there. She does not give anything. So it's a hard search to cover. Arroyo, we put his name out quickly after the last game, only because you kind of look at who the coordinators are at top schools. And, you know, she had a pass with Marcus Arroyo. He was the quarterback at San Jose State when she worked there. Yeah. Excuse me, not San Jose. Yeah, San Jose State. So yeah, she knew of him. 20 years later, she's now talking today about them reconnecting. So she obviously knew who he was. So that made sense to put him on the list. But, you know, the LSU defensive coordinator, Arnada, I mean, you know, and I tweeted this yesterday, to believe some guy's given up $2.5 million a year to come to UNLV where they've never won, to make maybe $1 million less because he wants to be head coach, never made any sense on the surface whatsoever. And yet the Associated Press ran a story he had been offered the job, which we knew he hadn't been. So I'm with you, John. I mean, as columnists, I don't think we're involved. We definitely don't want to be involved. But searches for these beat writers are just, I think they're just brutal because you just don't know who to believe.
Desiree Reed-Francois is the athletic director. Her name has come up as a potential candidate at UCLA and some other places, maybe. Is she in there for the long haul at UNLV? Or when you look at her track record, do you say she's going to jump?
Oh, I think she jumped to a P5. I think that's her ultimate goal. And I'll tell you what, now hiring a basketball and a football coach in the matter of 6 or 7 months or whatever it is, if she jumps quickly, I don't know what the response will be, because these guys are going to be locked up for a while. Now, if they win, she's going to look great. If they lose, she's not going to look great. And she's taking, they're both risks, obviously, Otzelberger and Arroyo. She wants, I think she, there's no question she wants to be a P5 athletic director. She's been everywhere. Her list of schools she lists is massive.
Yeah.
She's very close. Virginia Tech was her last stop. She was really, really close to the AD there and Frank Beamer. And that's kind of the place she always points to when she talks about what she wants UNLV to be. She wants it to be like Virginia Tech. But if you're telling me if she's in a room a month from now interviewing for that UCLA job, she went to UCLA, checks a lot of boxes for what people look for in ADs, then I think she'd walk to UCLA to get that job. And I'm not saying she shouldn't. I mean, if you're on the upswing of your profession and UCLA comes calling, I think it would be silly not to think that you'd want that job.
Mountain West Conference, UNLV, what are the obstacles to getting to the top?
Well, it was a lot before now, like I said, and people, and you know this, I mean, we have to think like 18-year-old kids. That Fertitta football complex, of which the former coach Tony Sanchez pretty much raised every cent of $36 million, that at least now puts them on par with not as programs, but with facilities, with Boise State, with San Diego State, with Fresno, the better teams in that conference. They're not as good on the field yet. But now Marcus Arroyo will have an ability to walk a kid into a facility from whether it's Gorman or whoever in Vegas and say, look, why do you have to leave now? We have what they have. I think that's going to help him a lot. I don't know if he's going to get a lot of Oregon-type players, but he doesn't need to do that to compete in the Mountain West. He has to get high-level Mountain West players, and he has to prove he can coach, and they have to stop somebody. I mean, I know he's an offensive guy, but they haven't stopped anyone in 3 decades. So I don't know who his defensive coordinator is going to be, but that's who I want to know. I want to know who are you getting to stop people. So if he can do those things and recruit at a pretty high Mountain West level, they can get up there. We've seen Hawaii do it recently. We've seen Wyoming do it. It's not that difficult in the Mountain West division if he knows what he's doing and hires the right staff where they can make a move. And around here, John, if they're 7-5 and going to Albuquerque Bowl, basketball still rules around here. So no one expects him to go to playoff or win 12 games. But he needs to get to them where they're 6 or 7 and they're going to these bowls and showing some kind of life in just what has been a dead program.
Ed Graney, Las Vegas Review Journal, our guest. All right, Ed, you got NFL there, you got NHL, now you took Marcus Arroyo out of Oregon. We would like to have Major League Baseball in Portland. Will you guys stand down on the Major League Baseball thing?
Man. I went to Phoenix after the Henderson story broke. That Henderson, we had the emails about how they had contacted and the Diamondbacks that had talked. You know, I always thought two things. I always thought hockey would be the first one in because it's the guinea pig, and no one could have predicted the Golden Knights. I mean, there's just no chance that anyone predicted that. So it worked out far better than anyone thought. The NFL is an easy one. You'd always take them. But I always thought basketball was the next one. I always thought the NBA. T-Mobile is built for two pro teams. On one side, if you're in T-Mobile, if you've been to underneath, is built for hockey. If you walked across the other side, it's absolutely ready for an NBA team to walk in tomorrow. So they have that going for them. Baseball, how it would work here, if they could sell tickets, although I'm not, as we see some of the teams around Major League Baseball, I'm not so sure that even matters how many butts are in the seats anymore. I think more, you know, there's other revenue streams they care about more. But it would be interesting. Obviously, it'd have to be domed because of the heat. I'll believe that when I see it. I still believe the NBA has its eyes on Vegas, and with MGM having the WNBA. I think when they gave MGM WNBA, there might have been a handshake agreement. Okay, we'll take the WNBA from you. We'll have this little team. But when relocation or expansion comes up, you better look to us first. So I still think it's going to be basketball next if another sport comes.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I don't want you taking the Major League Baseball team out of Portland's grasp. Don't be greedy.
No, I don't want it either. There's enough to write about now.
Yeah, don't be greedy, Ed. Come on.
No, we have Marcus Arroyo. What do you mean?
We gave you Marcus Arroyo. Let us have baseball.
Exactly.
It's all right. Good luck with that. Let us know how it goes. We'll check in with you down the road. By the way, is the stadium ready? I mean, is it going to be ready?
Oh, yeah. I can't say much about Vegas. I'm telling you, Johnny, when they say it's on time here, they build things. T-Mobile Arena was early. I talked to the guy who built the one in Minnesota who's also building the one here, and he laughed at me, and he said, I was early in Minnesota. What do you think I'm going to be in Vegas? So you drive by that every day, and it will be ready in July. And
right.
Marcus Arroyo actually will coach the first football game in it when UNLV plays Cal in late August.
Wow. All right, I can't wait. Ed Graney, you're the best, Ed. Take care.
Thank you, Johnny. You too.
All right, there he is, my old friend Ed Graney, Las Vegas Review Journal, does a great job there. Read him and follow him on Twitter. All right, some parting thoughts. Leave it here. We got through a lot of things that I had on my list today. I wanted to talk about that guy who rode that fenced animal in Oregon, and I wanted to talk about Home Alone, the house being a tourist trap, and I wanted to talk about $280 textbooks and Marcus Arroyo as the new head coach at UNLV, and what direction would Mario Cristobal turn? We have done all that. We've talked to Matt Prehm of 24/7 Sports about recruiting, and we've talked to Jim Polzin of the Wisconsin State Journal about the Rose Bowl. But what we haven't talked about is In-N-Out Burger, today at least, opening in Kaiser. I think we kind of agreed on yesterday's show that it did we agree it was overrated? I think even though it's good, it's overrated.
100% with you. It's fantastic. Doesn't live up to the hype, though.
I kind of think that it does, but wow. That's just me.
But do you think simultaneously it could be amazing but also overrated?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like it's really good, but I also hear people talking about it and stuff, and I'm like, okay, enough with your stupid In-N-Out Burger fascination.
But don't you wait in that ridiculous line every time you go?
I don't usually. I'm not that line guy. That line. But I'll wait 5 minutes, 8 minutes. I'm not waiting 45 minutes.
I've never gone and there not been a line out the door, so.
But I also grew up in California and I've seen them and I've walked in when there's no line. And, you know, so when you've had it, you go, okay. But here's my thought on it. If we agree that it might be overrated or is overrated, depending on what opinion you have, whose fault is it that it's overrated?
It's social media's fault, I think, because everybody posts it on Instagram, Snapchat, whatever.
I also think because of the scarcity of it, it became kind of a cool thing for people to say.
Yeah.
Too. Like, oh, I had In-N-Out Burger.
That's right. It's in like destination spots, too.
Yeah, that's what it was for me. Man, you had to drive to California to get it.
Couldn't get it. I know that my teenager, we were down in Southern California and we got In-N-Out Burger and she was taking pictures and stuff. And I was like, she wanted to get a t-shirt. And I was like, what do you want? She got a hat. And then the following Halloween, she dressed up as an In-N-Out Burger employee. That was her costume. And I was like, that can't be cool. That's not cool. That's not a cool costume.
But if you think about it, the locations, they're like in LA and in the Bay Area and these like cool locations.
Yeah.
That's why.
So there's a little allure to it.
Yeah.
All right. So good stuff. Let me know. Tweet at me at John Canzano BFT. Tell me if it's overrated or is it overrated and also outstanding? You tell me. I want to give a shout out to my friends at Chelsea Audio Video for Montgomery.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.